This is the BBC in London. This is Dan Damon with World Update from London. It's not just here at Bush House that people are mourning the passing of Charlie Gillett. Listeners around the world have come to respect his immense globe-straddling expertise, and they've loved his approachable personality. His website, Charlie Gillett's World of Music, has received a blizzard of messages, some offering condolence, many more simply expressing hero worship. Here's a report and a tribute from our arts correspondent Vincent Dowd.
Hello, I'm Charlie Gillett from the BBC World Service with a World of Music. And this from South Africa is Miriam Makeba.
Few figures have been as well regarded in music radio, indeed in music, as Charlie Gillett. For almost four decades, mainly on the BBC, he enthused about the albums and artists he loved. This was him in 2004.
The sound of Dakar since 1982-83 is a sound defined by Youssou N'Dour, what he calls mbalax, and it's using the rhythms of traditional songs but played with Western instruments, guitar, drums, saxophones, an incredible, rich, varied, very complicated rhythmically. I've never figured out how you dance to it, but if you see other people, it's amazing.
Born in Lancashire in northern England, he'd begun writing journalism in his mid-20s. 40 years ago, he wrote one of the first books to take rock seriously, The Sound of the City. He was given his own show on BBC local radio and then nationally. On air, he was humorous, intelligent and relaxed, but never casual. His area of musical interest was wide, from early R&B to the latest in world music. US music journalist Banning Air.
He was just a voracious music listener. I mean, I could not believe how much music the man absorbed, and he had such strong opinions about all of it. And yet, the stuff he loved, he was, like, so fresh with it. It would be like he was hearing it for the first time.
In the 1970s, Charlie Gillett launched his own record label, Oval. He co-managed the singer and writer Ian Dury at the beginning of his career. Talking recently, he recalled the special talent he'd perceived in his new signing.
I told him I thought he stood comparison with Lieber and Stoller, who wrote great songs for the Coasters, Cole Porter and that whole generation of American writers. He was very, very particular about the way he used words.
At the end of the 90s, he moved to the BBC World Service, which brought him new admirers, many who discovered him online, including John Leeson in Toronto, Canada. He points out that Gillett's interests went well beyond his reputation as the godfather of world music.
Rhythm and blues and rock and roll, he obviously seemed to really love the whole world of the independent record companies and small producers and small companies in the US doing recording and being creative and independent discoverers and molders of music. Even on his website forum, which is where I've also stayed in touch with what he's been doing over the years, he still would talk about some of the great figures of American recording and artists.
Some said he'd invented the very phrase world music. With typical humour, he said it wasn't really true.
I was part of the little panel that came up with this term, and none of us are particularly happy with it. I think the best musical descriptions kind of come out of the music itself, like jazz or rock and roll. World music does sound like a marketing term, and that's what it was. It was a category in a record shop where you'd put everything that nobody knew what else to do with.
Charlie Gillett's death on Wednesday came after a long illness, but it shocked many nonetheless. His career was a long one. But it's hard to think of anyone in broadcasting who exerted so much influence on music for so long.
Vincent Dowd's tribute to Charlie Gillett, ending with music from Youssou N'Dour. The world's richest man, Carlos Slim,